We're talking with William Henry, author of, let me see if I get my whole sheet here. Is it just the one book, William?
Actually, I have written 13 books.
Okay, well, see, all they have is one on my page.
So the most recent one, the Starwalkers and the Dimension of the Blessed, is my new book, latest book anyway.
Okay, and you can find the others still available on what, like Amazon or?
WilliamHenry.net.
Okay, go out there and link up to him anytime you want through coasttocoastam.com. And, of course, the DVDs for sale. Speaking of which, have you heard of a new movie called Bloodline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, I'm going to be interviewing the producers of the film on Dreamland next week.
Oh, are you? I wondered about that because they asked me to ask you about their movie and about their research.
Oh, that's nice of them. Yeah, I actually met them when I was in Rennes-le-Château and just had a immediately hit it off for them. They're kindred spirits for sure.
So tell me about this movie just a little bit, not to take anything away from what you're doing, and I want to get back to the God particle. But this is a nonfiction movie,
yeah.
Or this is a – okay.
Yes, it's a nonfiction movie about some recent discoveries that have been made in Rennes-le-Château of some actual relics and parchments.
Okay. And have you had a chance to investigate any of them yourself?
No, not yet.
Okay. Because they would seemingly be kind of right up your alley here.
Absolutely.
Remote camera moved around the tomb, found open chests with jewels.
Mm-hmm.
They found some a codex, a badly rotted book of some sort. They don't know what it is. They found a shrouded body in one of these tombs. And I guess tombs, you'd expect to find a body. But, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it. I just know that they were doing research and they were going back and forth. And and you can find out more at their website. I think – I don't know what it is here off the – just Google Bloodline, the movie, and I'm sure you'll link up to it. But the producer is going to be releasing this movie coming up, and I'm sure he'll have a great show with them. Okay, so the God particle is this the piece that's within – well, let me ask, is it within all of us?
Well, it certainly flows through us, absolutely, and it's kind of interesting that physicists have given this name, the God particle, to this elusive subatomic particle that they think will explain or it will tell us why all matter has mass. And it perfectly matches this conception of what the Gnostics had about a divine spark of a true core, the philosopher's stone. I think that in an interesting way, they're all certainly related. I'm not sure they're the same thing, but the parallel traditions are certainly beginning to merge here.
Okay, related but not the same thing. Hang on to that thought, and we'll get back to the calls next on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry. My name's Ian Punnett. Related but not the same. You're talking about the divine spark and whether or not it's the same thing as the God particle that the scientists are looking for, the basic, most basic element of building of matter. But and before we get to the callers, I want to ask you about something that that brings us back kind of to the beginning of the show, and we were talking about the BTK killer. Where does evil come from? If we all have the same divine spark within us, where does evil live? How do you look at evil?
Well, I mean, that's a really great question, Ian, because, in fact, when you look at some of the Gnostic documents, the Apocryphon of James is one and a couple others, they talk about our divine particles, our divine sparks, and how there's a group of beings they refer to as archons or rulers who don't have our divine sparks.
Yep.
And who seek to take them from us. Some like to think of these archons or rulers as reptilians or as what we today refer to as the grays, and suggest that we're being mind-controlled by some of these beings and that they're utilizing us to harvest perhaps a fear-type energy from our bodies. And so in my view, that would be a very good place to start for looking for the origins of this idea of evil and how something that is divine within us can be turned into and used for harmful purposes.
Now, I don't know whether that's to me, that's so further down the discussion line that I almost can't get to there yet because we're confronted with people who do such unspeakable horror to each other, and that they're not the grays, they're people that look just like us, and so I wonder whether
some people think they're being controlled. And I'm not saying the BTK killer was controlled through mind control by the grays or any other force.
No.
It's just could just simply be a total mutant gene that he just completely was screwed up from the very beginning.
Yeah. Maybe. And I keep going, but I do come back to that idea that maybe some people don't have a divine spark. And I don't know why, and I don't know how it works. It just sort of seems that way to me. West of the Rockies, Wally is in Oregon on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry. Wally?
Hey, thank you, Ian. You and George and Art and the crew are doing great job. Good show.
Thank you.
My question for William Henry is, is it true that Peter was hung on a cross upside down?
That's what we're told.
I was reading in the Tarot book by Paul Foster Case, and that struck me as really odd. But
why did it strike you as odd?
I didn't think about it that way. I was reading the Hanged Man, and mm-hmm. It brought some things back in line from the other books that I read in my life, you know, to help run my life, being an addict and an alcoholic.
Right.
I've done some studies and along the lines of the will, and turning it over, basically. And,
well, you know why he did that, though, right? You've heard the tradition around being crucified upside down?
No, not entirely.
Okay, that was his choice. The crucifixion was the implement of torture, was the method of torture, but he wanted to be crucified upside down because he didn't want the same punishment. He didn't want to be confused with his crucifixion with Jesus's crucifixion.
Oh, wow.
So it was an act of humility of being crucified upside down.
That's excellent. Oh, and the other statement that I wanted to make was, if the world would realize that the temple has already been rebuilt, the Dome of the Rock is on the Holy of Holies.
And think of it as the Muslim, as that dome of that temple as being the third temple?
Yeah. That's what I would say.
Larry, let me ask William Henry about that. Where are you with that?
I try to relate everything back to the human body. The rock is the philosopher's stone, the divine spark within us. The dome that covers the rock is the dome of your head. The cave of the ancients where these secrets are held is not necessarily a cave in southern France where the Cathars would go inside and look at these mystic paintings. The cave of the ancients, the cave of the philosopher, is between our ears. That's where the temple is located as well. And so to the extent that you give away your power by identifying with a building out here in the real world, you're not looking inside at where the true temple is and where the true teachings reside.
Jamie is in Massachusetts, first-time caller line for William Henry. Jamie?
I just have to say right off the bat, I am so excited about this conversation tonight, and I can't say that I've agreed with anybody more. I was half asleep, and I heard this. I have to say, very quickly, for the past, 7 years, I've had this idea in my mind about human potentiality, and I've gone back and forth all the traditions over and over. And I've basically settled on a lot of Tibetan and Taoist philosophy. And it does always come back to the same exact thing. And I think that that's my personal idea is that the world is basically symbolism. And that's basically the reason that we have to take that in. And I think a lot of confusion gets lost in that. I'm actually reading a book right now called Spiritual Nutrition by Gabriel Cousins that actually gets into the fact that there's physical ways, the way that we eat, the way we take care of ourselves, that we allow ourselves to take in this higher energy because we live in this toxic world and everything like that. And I'm very excited about this. Right. Like I said, I can't remember the last time I agreed on so many different points. And my question is, and I'm very glad you touched on the reptilian and the gray part of this entire this thing, as far as the antagonist in this entire saga that's going on. Do you really believe? And actually, I've read David Icke, I've read ridiculous amounts of things, and it does make sense to me that there is a certain part of our nature that is, in you know, when you go in the Bible and it's the struggle between the soul you know, the flesh and the spirit and all this other stuff, it does make sense to me that there is a certain portion of our nature that is somewhat separate from us that does hold us from this portion. How much do you feel that this is in play in our everyday life that we have now?
All right. Thank you, Jamie. William?
I think, and that's a great question, Jamie, and thank you for your call. And Ian, thank you for having me on the show so we could at least touch one person in that way. The human body is in transition right now from carbon-based biological flesh to a finer, more ethereal realm. We are at a point right now where we are in the process of transforming our bodies on a negative level into iBods. We have, everywhere I go, you see people with the cell phone hanging off their ear. You see people with iPods strapped to their bodies. Where we're going with this is the transformation of our bodies into iBods. We're not going to be wearing our computers. We're going to be a computer. And here's why I'm alarmed by this. At CERN, not only are they searching for the God particle, they are also creating something they call the grid. The grid is a grid of interlinked computers that will represent a sort of global brain. And it's going to be the replacement for the internet. I mean, I like to say that the internet right now is a bicycle. Where they're taking it in the next several years is into a Harley Davidson type of scenario. When this grid comes online, everything in our existence will be online, including our bodies. And our bodies more and more will be subject to surveillance by people like George Bush, to manipulation by people like the globalists. Everything you think, feel, or intuit will be recorded by this grid at some level. And what this means is that we are all effectively trapped in this grid together. And what we've got to decide is this the kind of civilization that we really want to be living in, or is there a way that we can maneuver through this situation and return to our original status as sovereign and divine beings?
Do you really think that there's any party that wouldn't subscribe to that? I mean, do you think you mentioned President Bush.
I mentioned that just because of the new surveillance technology or bill that was just passed.
No, I'm good with that. I'm just saying, is there anybody that wouldn't go along with it? I think governments by nature are going to want to have as much control as possible.
Right.
It's hard for governments to turn away. Republican, Democratic, it doesn't seem to matter. Everybody wants that feeling of control.
Exactly. And once you have control, then you want to begin to manipulate. And once everybody is an iBod and part of this grid, you are so easily manipulable that we probably will begin to come to an era where we won't be able to tell the difference between our own thought and the thought that they want to implant within us.
East of the Rockies, Ra-Da-El is in Florida on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry.
Greetings, Ian, and greetings, Henry. Ian, I met you in 1994 when I moved from Tallahassee to Atlanta. You were on WGST.
I was. That's
and
very.
I think
terrific.
We had a few conversations. I don't know if you remember.
I'm glad. I hope they were pleasant memories for you.
They are, and I'm so elated to hear you on Coast to Coast AM.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. I want to make a couple of comments and ask William Henry a question. Okay, the God particle. In the book of John, 1 John says, the light every man that comes into the world. So I feel that is that so-called spark that you're talking about. And Ian asked about evil. Isaiah 45:7, God said, I formed the light and created darkness. I made peace and created evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. But most people have been led to the knowledge of the Kabbalion, the seven hermetic principles. You have a principle of the law of polarity. When this universal spirit, this conscious energy, which we call God or the spirit force, thought the universe into existence, when he brought forth the physical and material manifestation, all energies went to an equal and opposite end. Hot, cold, negative, positive, yin yang, male, female, good, evil. But again, but we as being a higher order of being are able to choose from, you know, whatever man sows, so shall he reap, which is another law of the law of cause and effect.
I think it's a really good point. Do you have a specific question? I think you're making some really sort of excellent groundwork here, but is there a specific question you want to get to?
Well, from my understanding, Jesus said these things you can do in greater works, and he said there are many things I have yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. I think he was trying to, from my understanding, he formed a cult with the 12 disciples by teaching them the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which was the order of Melchizedek. But the question I wanted to ask William, do he think that the portals that were from the king's chamber going to Osiris, not Orion, and the queen's chamber that were going to Sirius B, and it was, from my understanding, there were two shafts that were coming into the king's chamber and two shafts that were coming into the queen's chamber. Before the pyramids were dismantled, in Zechariah 6, the wars of gods and men, do you think that those beings who had the knowledge of the rod and how to raise their vibrations were able to teleported through those shafts?
That's it. That, by the way, William, I just say, and thank you, Rhonda L., that call is so typical of why I love this show. I didn't see that coming. That's really, it's really interesting how we pull all this thing together. And you got to love that as an investigative mythologist yourself.
Oh, totally. I mean, I totally share his passion for the possibilities of the Great Pyramid as a transformational apparatus. They refer to it as a resurrection machine, suggesting that that king's chamber was utilized as a place of transformation. I mean, it's interesting too that the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid has the exact same dimensions as the Holy of Holies of Solomon's Temple, and some actually believe that the original Solomon's Temple was the Great Pyramid in Giza. Shameless self-promotion here. I'm leading a tour to Egypt in January, a Stargate mystery tour of Egypt, and I will be looking at these questions, lecturing about them, because it's ultimately, I believe, that the pieces of this advanced sacred science and this spiritual technology are still in Egypt awaiting discovery.
Very interesting. And I love what he got there, too, about polarity. I thought that was really good, about the whole duality deal. I think that's really cool.
All right. Balance of male and female is absolutely where it's at.
And that's why this audience just always delightfully surprises me. International line, Michael is in Vancouver on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry. Michael?
Hi, it's actually Mike Ayel. I have quite a fantastic story for you, William. I'm quite a fan of yours site. Anyway, but to get to the point, on November 8th, 2003, was the Harmonic Concordance. Do you remember?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me tell you a story. I was invited to one of the energy vortices, one of the 13, to the caliber of the Pyramids of Giza. Now, this is very important. Working with the global grid map, you take the sacred geometry, the fifth solid, a platonic solid, the dodecahedron. When that is overlaid with planet Earth, all the points line up, all the grid points line up. On that night, I gathered with 144 light workers, healers, psychics. To make a long story short, the rods of power, the rods that you speak of, is the copper pipes filled with crystals. Picture over 1,000 of these crystals or pipes with crystals in them. I walked the grid. This vibrational energy came off of it. It's different. I'm a healer from a child. That's a hot energy. This is electric. It's vibrational. When I walked out of the grid, I walked over to a huge crystal, double terminated, underneath the star.
You're going to have to hang on here. We're going to have to get the rest of the story after the break. So hang on, and you'll tell us how that wraps up the epilogue next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, I want to get back to the international line where Michael in Vancouver was just getting to the end of the story about the harmonic convergence.
The harmonic concordance is where six planets lined up on the astrological chart to make a perfect star, David, or the Merkaba, or the portal. The portal did open up that night. When I stood over this crystal, this energy, vibrational energy, imploded in me. Christ consciousness, Christ. The Christ consciousness has returned to Earth. Since then, working up in the mountains, working with the global grid map by Becker and Hagens, I've created this crystal grid. The circle is the circle, the magic circle of quartz boulders. The rods are the copper pipes. It is a portal. I have pictures of fairies, little people, spirit orbs, spirit, sylphs, elementals. My question is this. Would you be interested in attending something like this? And or specifically, my other part of the real question is, you had on your site something about Tara Hill in Ireland. Could you tell us a little bit about it and why you may have taken it off the site? Tara
okay.
Hill, the temple, and that what was discovered in Tara Hill. It was something similar to a portal or something with a circle of stones and the crystal.
All right, let's get an answer. William Henry?
Yeah, Tara Hill is a sacred site in Ireland. I took the article down. I recently redid my website, and I'm in the process of putting some of the older articles back up. And so that Tara Hill article, which I think was titled The Blue Stones of Atlantis, it will be back up soon. And, you know, that reminds me about something, Ian. We were talking earlier about why they couldn't use this technology at Solomon's Temple in order to defend themselves from the Romans. And one of the things that struck me, I was thinking about it during the break, was that in numerous instances, Nebuchadnezzar sought the power of the Ark of the Covenant. He sought the Ark as a relic. And we're told that Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, was forewarned of Nebuchadnezzar coming into Jerusalem in order to steal the Ark. And he took some blue stones to Tara Hill in Ireland, so the legend says. So it's quite possible that while they might have had the actual hardware itself, the hardware relic, they didn't have the quote-unquote software that was required in order to make it work.
Okay. Let's get the break in, and then we can get just everybody else lined up after that. So hang on, Joelle, Anita, PJ, Francis, everybody else online, we'll get to you for William Henry next. On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Let's get to as many as we can. Wildcard line, Joelle is in Pennsylvania for William Henry on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, guys. Looks like you're having an L of a show tonight, as I am Joelle.
Yes.
Who follows L and whatever, perhaps yeah. Radel.
Radel. Yeah, actually, you came down on my list as Joelle. Is that not how you pronounce it? You're Joelle.
Yes.
Okay,
and
good. Go ahead, Joelle. Go ahead.
Hey, I have a quick question about one of the web pictures that you posted, Mr. Henry, this evening mm-hmm. with Coast to Coast AM. And it has to do with the superimposition of the God particle track upon the icon of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Is that white superimposition shape an exact part of one of the two previous pictures?
Yes.
That are posted above it?
Yes. What I did is I took they have a simulation, a computer simulation of what they think the God particle will actually look like when they are able to perceive the signal from it. And so I showed that piece of computer-generated art, and then I showed the logo of the God particle, which is very distinctive, and then superimposed that logo over a 16th-century depiction of the Transfiguration of Jesus. And it turns out, just perhaps by coincidence, maybe something more, they were a perfect match.
Hmm. Very interesting. And you can find that at coasttocoastam.com and link up to William Henry there. I liked Joelle's comment about an L of a show tonight. Let's go to Anita in New York on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry. Anita?
Yes, one of my favorite guests, Ian, woke me up. I have a couple of brief comments and then my question. I'll listen.
Oh, and we're really tight, so I don't know how.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to confirm that he's going along the right line because in the mid-90s, I interviewed on Manhattan Cable a young brother, can't say his name right now, who wrote a book called The Ankh, and he actually demonstrated on air that it was a battery. And as to the Dalai Lama, Sean David Morton and Nexus Magazine has a lot of documentation that he's a CIA asset, so we won't look for him for the purification. But my question relates to having just finished a book called Shamanism and the Mystery Lines, Ley Lines, Spirit Paths, Shape-Shifting, and Out-of-Body Travel. So I'd like him to speak of how his work ties into ancient indigenous shamanism. And Osir, A-U-S-E-R, was the original African name of Osiris. Do we get our word Osir from that? And I love your program, Ian. Thank you so much.
William Henry, there's a lot there. I'll leave it up to you to unpack what you want to comment on.
Wow. Well, you know, obviously people have been working on this for a long time and have recognized that we are on a path here towards recreating perhaps some ancient conditions, reclaiming this ancient knowledge and being able to use it for higher spiritual purposes. And that's where we're all aimed. And I think as long as we've got our hearts and minds tuned to that, we're going to be just fine. And I just have to say, the Dalai Lama is a CIA asset. Give me a break.
You know what? I don't know why that, of all the things she mentioned, that's the one that didn't surprise me at all. I'm really serious, and I wonder about that, because I wonder whether at some point, I mean, you look at the history of Tibet, it was overtaken both politically and militarily by communist China. You have an interest on his part to try to see his country restored to its own autonomy. So I wonder whether you might make a deal with somebody like a CIA if it meant that in return you got information or you were able to more effectively protect the freedom of your people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't rule that out at all. The more I read about the CIA and the people that work out these complicated quid pro quos, there's a lot that you can also get from the CIA in exchange for what you give.
Sure, but the inference to me, the way I interpreted it was is to say they're trying to say that somehow don't pay attention to the Dalai Lama. He's a stooge, or he's like
right.
Saddam Hussein, who was also a CIA asset. So, I mean, you know.
Oh no, I'm with you there, and you know, and especially because asset in the movie The Bourne Ultimatum means killer, and that's a really hard way to look at the Dalai Lama, is that he would be out there taking out people out of contracts. But Wildcard Line, PJ's in San Antonio, Texas, on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry. Go ahead, PJ.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is PJ calling from San Antonio, and you know, I would like to thank you for Coast to Coast. I would also like to say thank you, Mr. Henry, for being on the show. My question is to you is, since we're talking about different views and aspects as to Gnosticism and different, you've mentioned so many different views tonight, and you're very obviously a very educated man. Do you believe in immortality, in actually reaching this spark, or this divine spark, what I call a magnum opus? Do you actually believe that immortality is possible? Have you heard of people like Saint Germain or Nicholas Flamel and such as far as spiritual alchemy and physical alchemy?
Oh, good questions. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I do believe in that, and I think that that is in fact the quest of our life. Earlier, I mentioned the statement by Jesus in the Pista Sophia to seek the cleansing mysteries that will purify us and transform us into a being of pure light, an immortal being of light, so that we can inherit the light of the kingdom. And what that means to me is that we'll be able to travel the galaxies as immortal beings of light. We'll be able to even perhaps enter into the dark realms, the other 95% of the universe that remains unknown to us.
And do you know of anybody who has ever done time travel?
No, I don't. I study SETI. King SETI, the Pharaoh SETI in ancient Egypt, who utilized this Osiris technology at Abydos, and the stories of him being able to reappear as a being of light to humans after his transfiguration. This is 1,500 years before Jesus, and what we see there at Abydos, which again I'll be going to study in depth in January, we see the technology, then we have the stories that accompany it of this being, SETI, who actually accomplished this immortal transfiguration and how he was able to toggle between the worlds.
Let's go to Frances. She's in Los Angeles. Oh, I'm making an assumption that it's a girl, Frances.
Yeah,
it could be
a
guy, Frances, although that's less common now these days. Yeah, less common now, guy Francis's. But where you want to go with this on Coast to Coast AM, Frances?
Yes, I'm. Oh, what a good show you have this evening, Mr. Henry. As I was told, and it took a long time for it to sink in, about the soul. Where is the soul? Is it what was told to me by beings? When you have the feeling of absolute love, you fall in love with somebody, and that's all you can think about, blah, 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 and the feeling that comes over you, or when you become so heartbroken that you think your real heart is broken, it's not your physical heart. It's a part that's in you and that is where the soul is.
Interesting thought, William.
Yeah, and I would go along with that. And you know, the idea that corresponds with this concerning the God particle is that every breath that anybody has ever taken on this planet is still being is accessible to your divine spark. So every single feeling that you have, every breath that you take will be breathed forever by all living entities. And your energy pattern, that feeling, will be here perhaps for eternity. And this is why it's so important to focus on what is it that we're feeling. Are we feeling more love or are we feeling more fear? Because it is that energy that we're going to leave behind as we go into other realms.
So just as you had said that about the divine breath and how we share that with each other, at that point I had an involuntary hiccup. It just occurred to me. So you heard me hiccup a little bit in the background, and I wonder now who else will be sharing that hiccup. For all eternity, that hiccup will go out from that moment to be hiccuped out by others later. Let's go to John in Washington on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry. John?
Yes, this is John. Number one, God is not a particle. He's a consuming fire. Number two, have you heard of the Samsonite option? The pillars of fire, smoke? Have you heard about the pyramid, the upper chamber being Christ risen, the lower chamber being hell? Do you know of Nebuchadnezzar, of the covenant that he gave, and that how that through his sons there would be a defiled message? Do you understand these things? God is going to rule with a rod of iron.
I don't understand your point.
Well, the point is that God is not a particle. He's a consuming fire.
Okay, but hold on a second. First of all, dial it down. But second of all, let's take a second just to consider that nobody's saying God is just a particle. That the term, the God particle, is a metaphor which was started by scientists under, I think it was the Reagan administration, to talk about the basic building blocks of matter. So no one's saying God is just a particle or God is only a particle.
Do you know the Samsonite option?
Yes, I do. And actually, I went with Coach Luggage. I know a lot of people say Samsonite is inexpensive, but I say, you know, better to buy it once and buy it right, even if it's more expensive, and use that for the rest of your life than just go with something
Israel
where you have to buy.
Going to use the Samsonite option very soon because she believes she only has a couple months to do it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your thought on that. Thank you, John. And let's move to Sean in Wyoming, first-time caller line on Coast to Coast AM. Sean?
Thanks for taking my call. I saw one of those tunnels of light or beams of light.
Mm-hmm.
And after I saw it, my sister ran in to get some binoculars, and I looked, and it hit like right behind her, like a foot or two behind her. And I looked, and it actually hit my cat, and my cat took off running.
Mm.
From there, it was like behind the steps. And after that, I looked with binoculars and couldn't really see anything. It was like a faint, like, white light, like maybe like angel dust or something, the only way I could describe it. And after she went in and it was gone, and it looked like it came from beyond the stars, like beyond, way back there in the galaxy, I stretched out my arms. I'm like, God, let me know that what I saw was real. And at that time, I thought it might be the aliens or something. And I saw a symbol that was like maybe an inch and a half wide, and it was about 2 foot off the ground, about 5 foot tall, and it was an arch, like two-thirds of it arched to the right, and then the bottom third of it arched to the left, and it was just like kind of like a snake type thing. And I was wondering if William ever saw any symbols like that.
William?
No, I'm a very visual person, and I just, as you were speaking, I couldn't really get an image of that. If you could email it to me at WilliamHenry@WilliamHenry.net, I'd be happy to take a look at it for you and comment on it.
That's a very fair thing to offer. Let's go east of the Rockies. Dawn is in Hilton Head on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry. Dawn?
Yes, my question is, to get to the Father in heaven, you have to go through the Son. And that's all based on Jesus dying on the cross and then rising the third day. If, in fact, he did not rise the third day and didn't die on the cross and married Mary Magdalene, how are we supposed to get to heaven?
Well, that you probably will get to heaven just exactly the way that you believe you will. The Cathars believe something different, though. They believe that you get to the Father, heaven, through the Son, S-U-N. And they thought of the Son as a star tunnel, which today we refer to as a star gate. And so they didn't view Jesus as a person or Christ as a person. They viewed it instead as a column of light that reached through the Son, ultimately probably going to the center of the Milky Way galaxy.
And we have Chris on the international line in Montreal on Coast to Coast AM for William Henry. Chris? Chris?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is just a theory I have on the comment that he made about the grid. And before that, I'd like to ask a question. Let's just say we do unite in this one giant grid. Do you believe that we can morph into sort of a high society, one voice, one mind?
One voice, one mind, William?
Yeah, like a high society.
William Henry?
Sorry?
Did we lose our guest?
No, this is Chris.
We lost our guest somehow. So I can't, I would be unfair of me, Chris, to answer the question for him on whether or not he saw one guest, one mind, one show, one voice. So we'll just leave it there for now and just say thank you for calling. And I'm sorry, I'm sure that you had more to that. And I'm sure William Henry did, too. Don't know what happened, whether there was something that got cut off on his end or some piece of technology on ours. And we're working on trying to get him back, at least just to say goodbye in a moment. I'll tell you what I want to do. I would take a minute, if I could, to thank George Noory, who's been more than a colleague. He's just been a real friend. And I was just really gratified to be on his show earlier this week on many occasions, talking about the 35W bridge collapse in Nashville. And I just wanted to say, George, you're a friend. And that's a pleasure to have spent that extra time with you. And thank you, everybody, for your concerns on that. And I also want to take a second before we bring William Henry back up to mention that we have lost a friend of the show in Ariel Louise. She is a woman whom many of you have probably never heard of, and most of you never had a chance to meet. But I did at a Burnsville get-together, Burnsville, Minnesota get-together. Ariel Louise was known around the country for her support of paranormal guests and hosts and radio programs. She worked as a public relations woman on the Internet, as kind of a pioneer in Internet PR. And she died unexpectedly during a heat wave we were having here in Minnesota. I don't know many of the details, but I had the chance to meet her. And we'll always remember her hair. This bird's nest-like hair that she had and the fun way that she spoke and talked and how she knew everybody. So thank you to Ariel Louise, and thank you to William Henry, too. And sorry we didn't get you. I don't know what happened there, but glad to get you back on just to say thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ian, very much.
And we'll have people link up to your site through ours at Coast to Coast AM and take a look at the new books and also for the new trip coming up, which sounds terrific, too.
Thanks, Ian.
So, hi to all my peeps there in Nashville, and go have the apple compote over at the pancake pantry for me. Okay,
so, I can walk there. I live right beside it. So.
All right, it's Deus Tiamat, and I do too.